You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy Monday coming up for you. After the 9:30 news, Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, is going to be joining us for a little recap of the many things that are going on. The Voting Rights Act turned 60 this week. We're going to talk about that and what appear to be some efforts to change the Voting Rights Act. Also, we're going to talk about the cuts for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which announced last week that it will be shutting down now that the federal government has pulled funding, and talk about some of the ramifications that's going to have, especially for people who live in rural areas.
Yes. Yeah.
This is going to be impactful.
Yes.
In hour number two, we will lighten things up a little bit. We're going to go beyond the cheese with a Poppy Bakery in Milwaukee. Amy Gorski is the owner. She started as a little pop-up and then started doing some farmers markets. Yeah. And now she has this. She's only open on weekends in Milwaukee, but it's killing. It's killing it.
Is there a more Midwestern name than Amy Gorski?
Probably not.
Amy Gorski. She owns the bakery down on Turk Street, and the best popovers in the game.
Yeah, ever.
I just love them.
There's no comparison.
I love them.
We're going to wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the your worst nightmare edition, or your worst nightmare edition. So stay tuned for that. Did want to start off with this though. The Department of Health Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin has confirmed our first cases of measles in 2025. 9 cases of measles have been confirmed by the Department of Health Services and the Oconto County Public Health. This is from WISN.com. Sam Schmitz has the byline. All of those impacted were exposed to a common source after they traveled out of state. The DHS didn't say where they had traveled, and they are not releasing any other information about those because of HIPAA laws, which I understand. But we're going to see more of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see more of childhood diseases that had essentially been eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so much vaccine hesitation being supported by our federal head of the Department of Health and Human Services, Bob Jr.
Definitely not a doctor.
No, definitely not a doctor. And now we have some Republicans who apparently want to help this along so more of us can get measles. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner, Baylor Spears. Amid falling vaccination rates, GOP lawmakers now want Wisconsin to highlight exemptions. That's essentially ways to get out of giving your child vaccines, because a lot of schools require them.
Yeah.
So that all the kids don't get sick.
That seems like a basic, once again, like Bob Jr., not a doctor myself, I would say that vaccinating children when you're around other children and adults seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Kind of for the common good kind
yes.
of thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, that weird word we don't use anymore.
That old attitude we used to have. Co-authors of the bill, Representative Lindy Brill, Republican from Sheboygan Falls, and Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara from Appleton, also a Republican, say there's a lack of transparency around the exemptions that can create confusion and unnecessary barriers for parents and increase administrative burdens on schools when immunization documentation is incomplete or delayed. Can't you just say they want to opt out of vaccines? Let's let them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wisconsin law does require kids in elementary, middle, junior, or senior high schools, child care centers, or nursery schools to get vaccinated based on their grade or age. The schedule covers all the stuff we had growing up.
Yeah.
Mumps, measles, rubella, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus.
The stuff that, you know, a Republican, God, even just 10 years ago would have said, well, yeah, of course I'm going to get my kid vaccinated because that's just what you do. It wasn't,
it was a gift.
Yeah.
If you go back to the days of polio and they came out with a polio vaccine, parents couldn't wait to get their kids that shot. Yeah.
I mean, Jane, there are so many feelings right here. It's just like this profound sense of sadness, the arrogance too. It's just the pure, uncut arrogance of it all to say, I know better than doctors, and because I watched some person on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook.
Because those people are never wrong. Influencers are never wrong.
Or got an email from a guy who talked to a guy who knows someone who's pretty sure that their kid got a vaccination and now they have mumps-filled autism. Well, that's it. It's just the absolute arrogance. And you know what? For one thing, I'm just really surprised that we still have a law. I'm really surprised at this point.
Well,
we still have a law.
As of today.
And if we don't have one in 6 months, don't blame me. I'm just saying, I'm really surprised we still have a law in the books that requires children. And if you don't want your child to get vaccinated, then I feel bad because the consequences are in you. But also, why don't you just homeschool them then?
But then what if they go on a playground? I mean, are you going to homeschool them and just confine them to your yard? I guess you could. We have children who died in New Mexico whose parents did not get them vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they died from measles. Measles is a highly contagious disease that can spread from person to person through the air and stay in the air for 2 hours after the infected person coughs or sneezes. It is so contagious, if one person gets measles, up to 90% of the people around them can also become infected if they're not vaccinated. And the symptoms include runny nose, high fever, could be over 104. That's not good. Cough, watery eyes, pink eye, a rash. It can also cause serious health complications, including pneumonia, brain damage, deafness, and can also cause death.
On the live stream, because Cassandra is one of our regular commentators and also a nurse, she says, Rachel, I think it's, is it Rachel or Rochelle? I think it's Rachel, one of the Cabral Guevara. She is the Republican who co-authored this bill. She is a nurse practitioner. She is a nurse practitioner, and she is authoring this. I don't get it. I don't. Honestly, I'm at the point, Jane, where now when I hear these things, I no longer even have any sort of like witty retort or a bevy of information because it doesn't matter the information you have. They just do not care. They want to live their lives in the most illness-ridden freedoms they want.
It's freedom. It's all about freedom.
And that's, I guess, the point of the whole like homeschooling is like, it's if you want to be unvaccinated, okay. But then be away from other people then. You have a responsibility not to be around people if you are unvaccinated because you will get sick and you can make other people sick. And it just doesn't make sense to me at all that none of this.
But they have the freedom to infect others.
Yeah.
Wisconsin does allow parents to get the requirement waived for vaccinations if they submit a written statement objecting, including health, religious, or personal conviction.
Well, that just covers everything then. All you have to say then is like, I don't like it. And you don't even have to, if it's health or religious or personal conviction, that doesn't seem very, the claim of it's very vague. There's a lot of problems with people trying to access. No, it isn't.
It doesn't seem that difficult.
It's either I can't do it because I have A, I can't do this because of the Lord, or I can't do this because I just don't feel like it.
I don't want to be chipped.
I don't know how less vague you can get in this matter.
The bill would not change current requirements for vaccines. The bill would require schools, child care centers, and nursery schools to create a process to give a vaccine waiver form with every health-related form it requires before a student can be enrolled. So they just want to make sure that it's that much easier for parents to opt out of getting their kids vaccinated.
We talk about this a lot on this show, and I think it's never been more important because especially at the state level, the local level, all politics are local. But if you don't like this, if this bothers you, if this makes you uneasy, if you are, I don't care if you're a parent or not. This just, because if your kid, if we're out in the world, we're all together, it doesn't matter if you have kids or not. But go to myvote.wi.gov, put in your information, look, and they don't have to represent you, by the way, for you to call them. Call the co-sponsors of this bill and tell them what you think. And as Cassandra also put it, and this really makes me nervous, Cabrera is a primary care provider in the Fox Valley. So
is she just advising her patients not to get vaccinated?
I don't know. So yeah, go to myvote.wi.gov and put in your information, find out who represents you, and call them up as well, because it's important for you to have your voice heard on these matters.
Two doses of the measles vaccine are 97% effective at preventing it.
See, Jane, about that 3%.
That's what it is.
That's that 3% that causes all that.
If you would like to find out more about the measles vaccine, the DHS does have a measles webpage. We will include the articles that we're referencing in our show notes that you can find at civicmedia.us, C-I-V-I-C, civicmedia.us. Again, now we have 9 confirmed cases of measles in Wisconsin in 2025.
Are you happy? Does that make you happy? Is that what you wanted?
Herd immunity.
Apparently. Yep. That's
what we're shooting for.
Yep.
When we return, I went grocery shopping over the weekend. And the receipt I got was wrong. It was miscalculated.
Oh, okay.
So I told the cashier I want a new cashier.
You did?
Yeah. All the details coming up.
I'm just finding this out right now.
Because it's a joke.
Oh.
Stay with us. Oh. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the vast, statewide, global, on the app. Civic Media, you get it now.
I just got it.
Thanks. Radio Network, stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, joining us after the 9:30 news. And want to give you a reminder, we got baseball later on today. You're pretty happy, aren't you? It was kind of a good weekend.
4th sweep in a month.
And boy, were they hot at the bats.
Oh, yeah. They're the best record in baseball again.
Right, that was something. Brewers at the Braves tonight. Our broadcast starts at 5:40. You cannot listen on the stream, but you can listen on terrestrial radio. So check it out on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM at Park Falls. Hello, Park Falls.
Hey, Park Falls.
And our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH in Hayward. The crew at the Braves tonight. Our broadcast starts at 5:40.
I forgot to mention this last week. The Friday game, I believe, was on Apple TV Plus, and if you get it, I believe in certain parts of Wisconsin, they still do blackouts, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
So, Civic Media is a great alternative for getting those Brewers games. Listen to them. You know, if you were in within the range of one of those stations, kicking back on the porch, listening to a game on the radio, there's really fewer things that are better. But yeah, it's a great alternative if you can't get it on your TV, which I know is. With all the access to baseball on TV, they still have blackout rules, and it's still very, very infuriating.
And yeah, it annoys numerous people.
Yeah.
Yes. So this happened on Friday, and it might have just, you know, might have missed it. There's lots of things that happen. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump on Friday fired the head of the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics. Yeah. Erica McEnterfer had almost the entire Senate supporting her to lead the agency in 2024. The widely respected economist was confirmed on a bipartisan 86-8 vote in the Senate.
Well, that's where you lost me, is widely respected economist. That's where her first problem is.
Because she was widely respected.
And an economist.
Yeah. Well, the revisions to the jobs numbers came out on Friday, and Donald Trump said they're rigged and he didn't like them, so he fired her. This is what we do in North Korea. When you don't like the news, you fire the messenger, kill the messenger.
Yeah. Well, you make it eventually so you don't even report that news out of fear of being fired, jailed, deported, worse.
No, you adjust the news. Yeah. To show the administration what it wants.
Yes.
This was in Project 2025 when they talked about science.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the result we want. You come up with how we get there.
Yes.
And that's what they're doing now with the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Jane, how easy is it for the director of the BLS to go in there and tinker with numbers and
rig them?
Yeah, take a wax pencil and be like, here we go, take them and do all that stuff. How easy is it?
Let's hear from the former commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Bill Beach, on CNN. Calvin, play that clip, please. Why should we trust him? Happens. Always. But they don't. That is the former head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Bill Beach, on CNN explaining how the head of the BLS, there's no way for her to rig numbers. Sorry, President Trump, the numbers weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a fact.
And like every other president before you who's had these numbers be published, you just have to deal with it and do better. And
no, you fire her. You fire her and you put in a loyalist who will give you the answers that you want. That's why I said yes. I went to the grocery store over the weekend, and after I got my receipt and I looked at it and I told the cashier, this is rigged. I want you fired. And then they laughed at me and threw me out of the store. But that's my life.
See, I wouldn't have thought it was real had you delivered that the first time. When you did it before, I was like, what? Wait a minute. You didn't say anything about this. Tell me more how this works, because I have no idea. I thought computers did this stuff. But yeah, I'm going to throw, you're going to hear this from me a lot more going into the future, is MAGA supporters, make this make sense. Why is this a good thing? Why does this make sense? Why is this?
Because it was all rigged.
How does this make America better? How does it make it great? How is it rigged? Show your work. Show me the science. I want to see it. Because right now, if we're just firing people who disagree with your leader, then that's not democracy at all. And you cannot redefine that because, sorry, that's not how words work.
It almost feels that some people really aren't fans of democracy.
No.
We have news coming up next. When we come back, Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up an hour from now, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up a little bit, get away from the news, take a break. We're going to pivot to something that's happening in, above my garage door. I have a bird stuck in a birdhouse. That's a hole. So we're going to talk about wildlife assistance for Audio Sorbet today. If you have any tips on how I can get this stuck baby bird out of this birdhouse, that would be great. We will talk about other animal rescues coming up after the 10:30 news in Audio Sorbet. Right now, though, we're going to talk about important things. Like Sholly Pittman is Civic Media's news director, and she joins us now every Monday. Good morning, Sholly. How you doing?
Good morning. Hey, wildlife rescue is important, so I look forward to hearing it.
It kept me awake until 1 o'clock this morning. I couldn't stop thinking about that bird. It's driving me nuts. So that's coming up next hour, but we want to talk about, there are always things that happen on Fridays. We get off the air at 11 o'clock, and it's like everything breaks once we leave the air. But something that kind of got skipped over among all the other late-breaking Friday news was Susan Crawford is now Justice Crawford.
Absolutely. Well, this one we knew was coming. This right. was scheduled. We like when that happens in the news business. We can plan around it. So Susan Crawford, after being elected in April, is now Supreme Court Justice. She's taken her seat on the bench for a 10-year term, and she was sworn in at the Capitol Rotunda on Friday. Radio listeners can't see us, but I have this program schedule right here. I held on to it.
Very nice.
And it was a celebration, the very crowded rotunda. She was presented the robe by her family, which was very sweet. And she delivered an address, and you can find more about what she said, you know, on civicmedia.us. But it's a continuation of the Supreme Court kind of liberal majority. It further bolsters it. And 6 out of the 7 Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin are women.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And for me personally, it's a fun little family connection because I found out this weekend that now Justice Susan Crawford was a partner, an associate at Pines Bach, which is a law firm in Madison that I believe my cousin is a founding partner, if not a partner at. So I just saw that. They wished her well and good luck. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's so cool. It just makes sense that cool people hang out because the lawyer box in my family are amazing. And then there's the radio box down here. It's just like, we don't talk about him.
It's a lesser
lesser
branch of the family, a lesser Bach of the family, as it were. This guy, it's interesting because this kind of goes along with new FEC filings regarding Elon Musk. And Elon, of course, famously poured millions and millions and millions of dollars into the Supreme Court race. So what's up with this new filing?
Yeah, this came, I think, a day before or the same day as her investiture, as it's called. But was politics was on this, of course, and they found that Elon Musk's PAC spent more than $27 million on petition incentives this spring. Now, those filings don't say that PAC spent it in Wisconsin on this race, but the dates align with the Supreme Court race, and our listeners will well remember Elon Musk coming to Wisconsin, putting a cheese head on in Green Bay, and handing over these, you know, checks and all the things that had to change. He initially announced something that didn't seem entirely legal, so he had to change it to sign a petition against activist judges, and that promised $100 to folks who promised to vote against that. And then we had those sweepstakes. So that brought legal challenges even at the time. Attorney General Josh Call filed an injunction to a lawsuit asking for an injunction with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who denied it and didn't say why. But there is another lawsuit challenging that earlier this year that was filed by another progressive legal group, Greg, Law Forward, which filed that in Dane County Circuit Court. And just to make your brain spin, right, Dane County Court was where Susan Crawford served.
Right, right.
I feel like now as you play the X-File theme song, it all connects, man.
It all connects. It all connects. And Greg, that's you really are connected. I had no idea. Thanks for sharing that. I also want to share that Susan Crawford was chief legal counsel under Jim Doyle, and he spoke, and it's been a while since I've seen him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. He kind of, when he was done, he said goodbye. While you said that name, I had to be like, oh, yeah, that governor.
He was out of the woodwork. He spoke and he gave some of the main remarks. So did Chief Justice and former Chief Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. She had a celebration in June in the exact same place in the Capitol Rotunda. And I think they pulled out the same like screen that they used on Friday, right in the back. So that we also covered that. And that was. You know, she delivered a pretty long and lengthy speech just talking about the representation of women on the court and the role of judges and justices in a time of kind of deep political division, which is something that Susan Crawford also spoke to in her remarks.
I think former Justice Ann Walsh Bradley will have an interesting book coming out one day. That's just my speculation. I think she would have some interesting stories to tell about her time on the court.
And this is a question in the moment. I don't know if someone can find this out. Is there another state Supreme Court in America that has more of a representation of women on the bench than Wisconsin? I think we might be the one.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I apologize. I should have prompted everyone else, but it popped in my head when you said that. And I was just like, that feels like that's pretty important that there are 6 of the 7 justices are women. I mean, that's cool. Wow, what a grand statement to make, but yeah.
Other states also have different selection criteria for their state Supreme Court justices, so it gets complicated.
It all works differently. I do find it interesting, though, that these cases against Elon are still going on. I have never understood how what he did was considered legal. In any kind of business, if you have a raffle or a sweepstakes or anything, there are all kinds of things that govern how you do that in order to keep it legit. Mm-hmm. And that is remarkable to me. That he's just, it's like, yeah, well, here's $1 million. Yeah. It's all fine. Go ahead.
And as I said, I always thought that he's Elon Musk. He's probably got, 40,000 attorneys on retainer, and they probably went through all the things that here's what you can do, cannot say, not say.
Here, try this.
So, yeah. All right.
Civic Media's news director, Shelley Pittman, is our guest, and we're just doing a little recap of things going on in the news that we might all have missed. The Voting Rights Act turned 60 this week, Shelley. What was the goal of the Voting Rights Act? What did it do?
Yeah, that's a great question. It turns 60 on Wednesday, and it was signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1965, and the goal was to end racial discrimination in voting, especially in the South. It banned things like literacy tests and voter suppression tactics, and it gave the federal government the power to come in to oversee elections in states when some things might be happening. So, I thought it was interesting when we're talking about voting and voting access that this law is 60 years old. Now it's taken a beating, right? It has been renewed and amended along the way, but it was weakened by a 2013 Supreme Court decision. That's Shelby County v. Holder. And so as we're continuing to talk about things in 2025 related to voter access, voter ID, and how our elections are administrated and who benefits, I thought that was a little known. I didn't know that. I was looking at my planning calendar and I was like, oh, wow, it turned 60. Kudos to the League of Women Voters, who will have a celebration at the state capitol this Wednesday, for thinking ahead and planning that.
And by the way, a League of Women Voters is a great organization. If you are ever thinking, what can I do? I'm a blue, I'm a blue dot or even a red dot, because League of Women Voters is a bipartisan organization. If you would like to get involved in some way, they'd be a good place to start, at least to talk to them.
And one thing that's great about the League of Women Voters is that they provide great explanations, especially on ballot measures. They have a toolkit on their website that shows you exactly what the language is, what it breaks down to. And as you said, this is nonpartisan. This is a group that just seeks to expand democracy and understanding. So, yeah, actually, I didn't know that, Charlie. That's a great thing. I think I'll reach out to Deb Cronmiller and see if she wants to come on to talk about that celebration, because I think it's important to celebrate. What a wonderful thing to celebrate. That's totally in danger, in my opinion.
Well, and it is still under threat. The Voting Rights Act is they're still trying to chip away at it and say that, you know, we no longer need we no longer need this.
Yeah.
Is the claim that everything in our system works just perfectly, so we don't need this anymore. We're gonna continue this on the other side, Shally, but let's talk a little bit about the cuts for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yes, this is might is something you missed last Friday. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting says it's shutting down following a vote in Congress to defund it. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting funds 1,500 radio and TV stations across the country, which are mostly which are nonprofit and non-commercial. It's public radio, it's community radio, and I'll say this on the other side, but this is something I have a deep connection to.
Absolutely,
we sort of saw coming, and the impacts are manifold.
Especially, this is going to have a widespread impact, and I think especially in some of Wisconsin's more rural communities, and I don't think people appreciate just what is coming down the pike. So we're going to continue this conversation with Civic Media's Shally Pittman. She is our news director, and we will be right back, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream.
Hi, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, every Friday during the summer, free Ticket Fridays here at Civic Media. All you have to do is download the Civic Media app, which is absolutely free. Go to wherever you get your apps and look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. Pick your favorite station, W-A-U-K, perhaps.
I like that.
I like that one. And then you can call and text directly. You can leave a voice note directly from the app. And that is how you're going to enter the keyword then on Free Ticket Fridays. Pat Kreitlow starts off with a keyword from 6 to 9. We have a different one from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman then from 11 to 2. Todd 2 to 4. Maggie 4 to 6. All kinds of chances. Free Ticket Fridays. Playing for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers. I understand the boys are doing somewhat well lately. A 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats.
Those are comfy. Those are cushy.
They're cushy. They're comfy, and they're hot right now.
Yes, they are the hottest team in baseball. The best league. The best best record in the league. Period. Take that, the Dodgers. And yeah, it's very exciting. It's always exciting to be a Brewers fan, but sometimes it's more excitement, happy. Other times it's anxiety.
That too. But anyway, the whole point is download the Civic Media app so you are ready when we come to Friday for Free Ticket Fridays. If you're just joining us, Shally Pittman is our guest. She's the news director here at Civic Media. We're just doing a little recap of some of the news over the weekend you may have missed. Before we went to break, we were talking about the end of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is going to have a much wider impact, I think, Shally, than people realize. You worked in public radio for a long time.
Yes. Well, I worked in community radio, which is sort of public radio, but also its own sort of
animal.
Different thing. Animal, right. But non-commercial broadcasting. And I worked at WORT, which does get funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So this is one thing that I am not maybe objective on, and it's also not something that civic media is objective on. We put out a press release opposing these cuts. You might have seen that, or you might have not, but we said that we stand against funding cuts to public broadcasting. So just those disclaimers out there. But the CPB is the single greatest source of funding for not only National Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Radio, but also for independent broadcasters, rural broadcasters, community radio, including those in Wisconsin. So WORT, about 12% of their budget comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I was listening to an interview with the station manager at WOJB, the Lakota Ray station in the Northwoods, and their station manager told WORT that they will need about $200,000 to stay on the air in the face of those cuts.
That's a lot of money when you're up in the Northwoods. It is.
When you're a non-commercial broadcaster, yeah. Absolutely. And that carries with it restrictions, by the way. Non-commercial broadcasters cannot air ads for revenue. They can air something different called underwriting. There are many, many, many legal restrictions for what you can say in underwriting versus advertising. But it also there are a lot of humps. There are a lot of hoops to jump through when you're applying for a CPB grant. You have to file grant reports on what you're doing. You have to do so many outreach activities. You have to take, which is good, anti-discrimination and anti-harassment training. There are lots of requirements to obtaining CPB funding, and that's going away.
Well, this brings me to a question, and I posted something on social media about this, and someone came back at me and said that this is the result of a bad business model, that they did not adapt early platforms, and that they could go to for-profit instead of being. I don't think he understands what Corporation for Public Broadcasting actually means. I think he thinks of it as a legit traditional business model, when really it's something that the government set up as a way of funding these public stations. And I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't saying like, well, you're wrong. I feel like this is just a matter of because people have broken down. It's pennies out of our pocket per person funding these stations. And I just want to make sure that I am not incorrect in my assumption that this isn't about bad business. This is about the fact that Donald Trump called it woke, liberal, radicalized, and it finally gave them the push they've been trying to cut for years.
Well, that evil Sesame Street, you know.
Well, if I can jump in, I hear where the listener is coming from, right? And in many ways, radio stations, community public radio stations have adapted. However, there has been this narrative that they do not represent the full diversity of the ideological sphere. And in my time in public and commercial or non-commercial radio, I have not found that to be true, mm-hmm. right? Everyone is invited on the airwaves, especially at community radio. We are open. WORT is open to everyone to volunteer. It's also one of those things where it's responsible for those vital services like EAS, emergency
Absolutely.
Alerts,
yep.
that are the backbone for the rest of broadcasting. So there's that. This was also outlined in Project 2025, and mm-hmm. we also knew that this was coming. And if we had more time, we'd get into that section that says remove CPB funding and also revoke the non-commercial status of stations.
Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. Go to our website, civicmedia.us, click on news. We have a great, great news department headquartered all over the state. Shelley, thank you so much. We will see you next Monday. We have
thank you.
News coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.